إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدًا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين وسلم تسليما كثيرا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. أما بعد، we praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we seek refuge with Allah from the evil within our souls and the consequences of our bad deeds. Verily, whomsoever Allah guides, no one can lead astray. And whomsoever Allah allows to go astray because they do not want any guidance, then no one can guide. And I bear witness that there is no deity worthy of worship except Allah, alone with no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his servant and his messenger. May Allah exalt his mention. May Allah grant him peace and send his blessings and salutations upon him, upon his companions, his wives, and all those who follow them on their path of righteousness until the day of recompense. O you who have believed, fear Allah and be mindful of him the way he deserves it, and do not die except in the state of total submission as Muslims. Brothers in Islam, as the month of Ramadan departs and we welcome the upcoming months until the following Ramadan, if Allah allows us to remain alive, we are divided into one of two people. And the situation is very critical. I will try to speak on a matter which hopefully we can relate to within our lives. We can all tell that there are certain sins which we were consistent in committing before Ramadan. And we found by Allah's grace and mercy that during the month of Ramadan we successfully abandoned them. Very few people do not abandon those sins in Ramadan. And those, there's nothing to say to. There's nothing to say to. If a person maintained his disobedience to Allah throughout the month of Ramadan as he was before the month of Ramadan, there are no condolences which we can offer this person, except that this person has to fetch for a heart because he does not have one. However, the majority of Muslims are not like that. Walhamdulillah. The majority of Muslims have some sins, and in the month of Ramadan they leave those sins, and now the real test comes when Ramadan is over. You can all see within yourselves that as soon as the month is over, those sins start haunting us. That very sin comes back as a trial, as a test, to see whether we have successfully benefited from Ramadan or we missed out on it as we have done in previous years. And for a person to be able to judge his own condition, he has to see how strong and how determined he is in being able to abandon this sin and not revert back to it again. This sin, whatever that sin may be, I'm speaking in the general sense, it could be sins, it could be different acts of disobedience, which we would refer to as a sin, not for a person to think it's a single sin. Any kind of sin that any one of us does, now, have we gone back to them or not? If we have gone back to them, then we have to do some serious change now. It could be that as soon as the month ended, we fell back right into it. But this is where the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which I will narrate to you, which many might not have heard before,
This hadith is collected by many of the muhaddithin like al-Tirmidhi and al-Hakim and others. And it's an authentic tradition bi-idhnillah. Wherein the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained to us a similitude which Allah azza wa jal struck. He said, ضرب, the hadith of Sam'an radiyallahu anhu wa ardah. ضرب الله مثلا صراطا مستقيما. Allah struck the similitude of a straight path. على جنبتي الصراط سوران فيهما أبواب. There's a straight path, and on the sides of both sides of the path, there are walls, and in the walls there are doors. So there's a straight path leading you to your destination. There's a wall on your right hand side and a wall on your left hand side. And these walls have doors in them. وَعَلَى الْأَبْوَابِ سُتُورٌ مُرْخَاتٌ. And at each door, there's a curtain. There's a curtain which is closing that door. It's not a gate. It's not a wooden door. It's a curtain. It's fabric. Meaning one can easily go in. One can easily go in. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and at the entrance of the sirat, there's a caller which is saying, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ ادْخُلُوا الصِّرَاطَ جَمِيعًا وَلَا تَعْوَجُّوا. Oh people, enter all of you into the straight path and do not divert. اعوجاج is to go left and right in a crooked way. Don't do that. And on the top of the sirat, there's also a collar. If any person tries to go in through any of the doors, this collar will say to him, وَيْحَكَ. Woe to you! لَا تَفْتَحْهُ. Do not open this door. فَإِنَّكَ إِن تَفْتَحْهُ تَلِجْ. Because verily, if you open this door, you shall enter. You don't have to perform the act of entrance. Upon opening this curtain, you have already gone in into this door. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained the similitude. What does this mean? He said, "As-siratul Islam." This path is this religion which Allah has honored us and blessed us with. And the walls on the side of the sirat are hududullah. The limitations of Allah, the limits which Allah had set for His slaves, which He does not want them to transgress against and bypass. And the doors are maharimullah. The doors are the prohibitions which Allah Azza wa Jal made haram. The limit and that which consists the violation of that limit. As for the caller at the entrance of the sirat, it is what? It is the book of Allah. It is the book of Allah, Kitabullah, the Quran, telling you go straight. Do not go left or right. And as for the caller which you hear from above, it is what? It is that consciousness that Allah has placed in the heart of every Muslim. When you're about to sin, that guilty conscience which tells you, don't do it. Don't do it. This particular hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam can be explained by the scholars in days. I'm not going to say hours. If we were to go into the elaborated details of the hadith, but that is not possible during a khutbah. However, I believe that each and every one of you can understand and depict what is intended by this hadith and how we can relate to this hadith after Ramadan. The whole subject matter and the summary of this particular hadith is istiqama, uprightness. It is to remain upright, to remain upon the good which you were upon. Do not abandon the good which you were upon. Do not go back to the old ways, the ways of ignorance and the way of transgression and the ways of disobedience. Allah Azza wa Jal commanded the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba with this command, فَاسْتَقِمْ كَمَا أُمِرْتَ وَمَنْ تَابَ مَعَكَ وَلَا تَطْغَوْا إِنَّهُ بِمَا تَعْمَلُونَ بَصِيرٌ. He said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then remain upright as you were commanded and those who repented with you, the Sahaba, and do not transgress. He is verily concerning all that which you do, all seeing. So the scholars say here, Allah told us that there are only one of two options, either istiqama or tughyan. If you turn away from istiqama, from uprightness, you fall into transgression and oppression. And if you abandon oppression and transgression, then you are someone who is upright. So where do we stand? If we stood in the ranks of those who were upright in the month of Ramadan, is it logical that we go back now and ruin that? Does someone spend the whole month building a house after that house is completed and beautified and furnished and decorated? He brings a tractor and a caterpillar and he demolishes it in front of his own eyes like a fool, and people standing next to him saying, what are you doing? The time, the money that you put. He says, that's how I feel. I feel like destroying this house. We say, this is a foolish person. And when one of us ruins the good which he built in Ramadan, he becomes a foolish person as well, in a worse sense, because that house can be reconstructed. But if we die without having any reconstruction made, then there's no way to enter Jannah in the life to come if we don't remain upright on the deen. Or if one enters Jahannam, then makes it to Jannah, not a good deal either. So why? Why do we do this? Because the shaitan is our number one enemy. Forget about the kuffar and forget about the Western world and forget about all this. These are second level enemies. The real enemy is the one that doesn't abandon us night or day, not even for a split second of the day. The one who has no vacation, does not take any time out, and does not stop from exerting himself to the fullest in destroying us. And unfortunately, this is the one whom we give access to. We complain about the rest of the world harming us, but we don't complain about us harming ourselves with our very enemy who's right next to us. So we bring him into our house so he can materialize in different ways. All of the things in our household which are un-Islamic are a form of satanic behavior. It becomes very difficult to stay upright when we have all of these elements of distraction and destruction working against us. And we brought them in. We are guilty. We can't say, I can't help it. You can help it by keeping it out. By keeping it out. We're not going to be able to pray. Excuse me, brother. We're not going to be able to pray 11 rak'at or 20, whichever position you follow, for the rest of the year. Not really feasible. And we won't be fasting every day because it's not really feasible. Nor is it from the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. The best of fasting is the fasting of Dawood. Alternate days. He would fast one day and break the fast on the other day. We won't be able to read the Quran as often as we read it during the month of Ramadan. We understand that. So no one is expected to be putting out the same productivity he was putting out during the month of Ramadan. So we will slow down a little bit. But to step on the brakes and make a reverse and go in reverse and drive the opposite direction, that's not allowed. That's not excused and it's not justifiable. We may not be going at the same pace or the same speed, but we cannot stop, let alone turn around and go against the traffic and hope we will make it to our destination by backtracking. I'm giving these examples which we may understand, but at the end of the day we have to relate them to our Islamic affair, Islamic condition, our own affair with Allah. They may seem funny, but very often we do the very same thing in Islam, but we don't see it. We don't see it. So my brothers in Islam, the Lord whom we were worshipping during the month of Ramadan is the Lord of Shawwal and Sha'ban and Muharram and Rabi' al-Awwal and the rest of the months. It's the same Creator whom we've been worshipping. Do we think that He is not able to punish us now that Ramadan is over if we sin? Does any one of us claim or allege that He is exempt from the punishment of Allah because He's so special? Because He's from this lineage, or has that name, or has those looks? Can anyone make this claim? No one can make this claim. The messengers of Allah couldn't make this claim. لا أملك لنفسي ضرا ولا نفعا. The Prophet ﷺ was commanded by Allah to say to the people, I don't even possess for myself any good or any harm, except by the will of Allah. So what about ourselves? What about ourselves? So now is the real phase. This is the real examination. Not the month of Ramadan, that's easy. The worst Muslims become okay in Ramadan. The worst. He's fasting and he's doing his thing. The worst. But when do you really get tested? When the month is over. Don't look too far. Look at the masajid. Now we assume, and I hope my assumption is correct, that this masjid is half full because the other half are on vacation or they're praying somewhere else where they understand the khutbah, I hope. I mean, we're fetching for excuses for the brothers. But I'm also worried that it could be for some that now that Ramadan is over, I could take it easy a little bit, you know? Pray home a few times or pray in the street a few other times and Jama'ah is not as important and Fajr I can skip a few nights or a few days here and there and we're back to the old ways. I mean, the local people that live in the local masjid, in the local masajid are still the same. Why are we back to the two rows of Fajr? Why? In my local masjid, we're back. From the very next day, we're back to the two rows who have been consistent the whole year. The same faces, the same brothers, and the sad part is 80% of them are senior citizens. Old people who have the most pressure to come to the masjid, who may take the longest in the bathroom, who may have to exert the most effort to make it to the masjid, who have a hard time bowing and prostrating. MashaAllah, tabarakallah, they are the inhabitants of the first row. And the people who are in the 30s and 40s and younger, Allahu A'lam where they are. The latecomers all the time. Ta'ban. Yes, ta'ban for sure. And the other meaning of ta'ban. Because locally, ta'ban has two meanings. Tired and has issues. And that person is not tired, that person has issues. So the salah is the yardstick. We cannot abandon salah now. And we cannot stop coming to the masjid. And we cannot abandon coming early. All of these remain the same. Fasting every Monday and Thursday for those who are able to do it. Or the 3 days of each month. Ayyam will be the white days. Or the fasting of Dawood. That doesn't stop. Qiyamul Layl. Even if we stand for 15 minutes before Fajr. To pray these 3 rak'at of Witr. That should not stop. Many acts of worship should not stop. But most importantly, before we speak about exerting and expanding in good, remember the hadith. Remember the walls. Remember the doors. And remember the violations and the limitations of Allah. Because the Prophet ﷺ taught us, this is what will kill your heart. This is what will kill our heart. Every time we sin, ya akhwan. Wallahi, if we knew it, and if we paid attention to it, we would think twice before we sin. Every time we sin, a black dot is stamped on the heart. Every sin. And how big is our heart? After how many sins will this heart be completely covered so that it does not understand anymore? And it cannot go back to the good ways anymore? And it cannot listen to the admonishment anymore? How many sins does it take? We don't know. That's why we have to be mindful of every single sin. So if we have went back on our old ways, now that Ramadan is ended, today we will go back to the Ramadan mode. Today we will declare our war against shaitan. Today we will say no more. No, I will not go back to these sins. I will not go back to them in spite of your effort to mislead me again. We have to be strong. If we are weak now, we will suffer for the rest of the year. And if we don't have another Ramadan to rectify it, then we will be among the losers in the life to come. And I seek refuge with Allah that He will make any one of us among the losers. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد, of course, just as a disclaimer, what applies to the khatib on يوم الجمعة does not apply to the attendants or the attendees. Meaning you may not drink water on يوم الجمعة while the khatib is given khutbah. Nor can you pick up your phone or get busy with anything else. The khatib has a ruling of his own, and those who are being addressed have a different ruling. So I don't want this to be used as an excuse that in the future someone drinks water and he says, I saw the khatib drinking water. This does not apply to those who attend. During this Jumu'ah, we have to focus for these 20-25 minutes. Hopefully the khatib does not go longer than that in order not to agonize his audience. We listen attentively, focusing on what is being said, not playing with anything of our garment, carpet, anything which may distract us. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man massa al-hasa faqad lagha." If you even play with pebbles, if we were to have pebbles here and you get busy playing with them, you have committed an idle talk. According to the hadith, it will nullify the reward of Jumu'ah. Imagine all of this will go to waste. You will only get the 2 rak'at instead of praying 4 rak'at of dhuhr. That's it. But the ajr associated with listening to the khatib will go away by merely getting busy with the slightest thing. That's why come focused. Focused. Your hands, forget them. Your legs, forget them. Scratch if you need to scratch. No one is going to tell you don't scratch. But there's a difference between scratching something that is itching you and playing with something. Two different things, so we have to be careful. Going back to our topic, brothers in Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam advised one of the Sahaba, Sufyan al-Thaqafi, radiyallahu anhu wa arda. He told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Tell me something. Tell me something which I would never have to ask anyone after you about Islam. Give me one comprehensive advice which I can apply for the rest of my life. Therefore, I would never need advice from anyone after you." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him 5 words. قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ ثُمَّ اسْتَقِمْ. 5 words. Say, I believe in Allah, and then remain upright. This hadith is important because it explains to us another element which we may be unaware of. The concept of istiqamah is not restricted to sins and obedience. The concept of istiqamah is also involved with our belief system. Therefore, he told them, say, first, that is action with the tongue, say, قُلْ آمَنْتُ بِاللَّهِ, I believe in Allah. Now, when you say something with your tongue, it's an expression of what's in your heart. Say, I believe in Allah. That means we have to believe in Allah properly in order to attain istiqamah. And how many Muslims today believe in Allah things which they should never believe in regards to their Creator? How many Muslims deny Allah's names and attributes? We cannot even count. If we were to speak about numbers, the minority of Muslims believe about Allah what they're supposed to believe properly, and the majority believe incorrectly. From the very concept of Allah being everywhere, which is a false belief of not even the Christians. The Christians and their deviants believe that their Lord Jesus is up in the heavens. And we have Muslims denying that Allah is above the throne, above the 7 heavens, Jalla Jalalu. To their denial of Allah's names and attributes like the face and the hands and things which are confirmed in the Quran and the Sunnah. And we understand them that we do not liken Allah to His creation. Allah is unlike His creation. So everything about Allah is unlike anything you have seen. Therefore, don't imagine a human being, because Allah is the creator of human beings. He's not one of them. Istiqamah, in regards to our stance for the Sahaba, about the Sahaba. How many wicked Shia, Rafida, do we have today that are fighting the people of Sunnah and cursing the Sahaba and cursing the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? These are all tughat, people who have transgressed. Khawarij, those who will take you outside of Islam for a major sin and are always trying to revolt against the rulers, whether the rulers are Muslims or non-Muslims. To them, all of them are non-Muslims. Why, Allah? Because he just did this or he did that. And he's never been able to investigate the authenticity of these situations, never consulted the people of knowledge. We don't deny that a ruler may go outside of Islam because of an act. No one can deny that. But it is not for you to judge watching television, brother. There are people who will convey this to you. If they don't convey it, then we can hold them accountable on Yawm al-Qiyamah before Allah. You don't pass this judgment of takfir against some ruler that you don't like. How many have transgressed in this regard? In regards to Qadr, how many of us are upon istiqamah in regards to the belief in preordainment? How many Muslims today believe in superstitious beliefs? Superstitions which we got from all kinds of disbelievers about numbers and about locations and about events. Ridiculous, ridiculous things. And if you want to know the extent of that, look at these WhatsApp messages which people send every day. Those who have nothing better to do. Every 3 seconds, is this sahih? Is this authentic? Some wild information that no Muslim should believe in. People always trying to verify. Who spreads this junk? Allahu A'lam. But these are Muslims sending these messages. Meaning the issue exists out there. So my brothers in faith, in order not to make this too long, we are right now in the most critical phase after Ramadan. And this will be what would determine usually. Otherwise Allah does what He wills. But usually this is when it will be determined what will be our condition for the rest of the year. So I urge myself first and foremost, and then I urge you to make sure that we have a strong position from this moment onwards against shaitan. That sin, which you had been doing before Ramadan and left in Ramadan, and you are on the verge of going back to, or you have already gone back to, or you might go back to in the future, from now, exclude it from your life. From now. Smokers, I hope none of you is one. Right now, drive in the car. 12:20. Most of the masajid, the salah begins 12:20, 12:25, 12:30. The brother is driving the car with a cigarette in his mouth. And I'm thinking to myself, Ya Abdullah, you're going to the house of Allah, assuming you're going to pray Jumu'ah. He's dressed for it. Stinking. Smelling like ashtrays. Harming yourself. And harming the Muslims. And harming the angels. My akhi, 2 days ago, June, in the same time, you were saying Subhanallah wa bihamdi, Subhanallah al-Azim. 2 days ago, you said Astaghfirullah, Astaghfirullah. 2 days ago, you were reading the Quran. What happened now? What happened now, ya akhi? Now it's halal, and before it was haram, or has it always been haram? If you were able to leave it for 30 days during the day, can't you leave it now? Yes, you can. This is an example. The same thing applies to those addicted to pornography. The same thing applies to those who continue to shave their beards. The same thing applies to those who keep dragging their pants below the ankles. The same thing applies to those who chat with women. The same thing applies to those who have girlfriends. The same thing applies to those who disobey their parents. And I can go on and on and on about sins which we see every day amongst the Muslims that have become norm and acceptable. They were never normal, nor were they acceptable. Not at the time of the Sahaba, and not at the time of the Tabi'een, and not among the scholars and the righteous up until today. They were only common among the sinners, but never among the righteous. So do we want to be with the sinners or with the righteous? That's the decision we have to make. And some of these ibadat are too easy to be violated. Wallahi aib. It's one thing to be able to abandon a sin that is difficult, and it's another thing to be falling into a sin which is super easy to leave alone. And you know what I'm referring to. It's about time that we stop this. And we don't have to be scared of our mudir at work if he doesn't like our new appearance. Because this is a form of shirk. If we fear the mudir more than we fear Allah, then this is shirk. And that is not istiqama. And that is the example I was referring to earlier. Wallah, the mudir, all the people will say, I'm a mutawir now. Oh, I look this or I look like that. My wife doesn't like it. My father doesn't like it. My uncle doesn't like it. Who cares what people like and they don't like? They don't like anything anyways. And are you a toy and a puppet in the hands of people to do you the way they like? To lead your life? Are they going to protect you from Jahannam on Yawm al-Qiyamah? That's the question you need to answer. They cannot like what you're doing today. On Yawm al-Qiyamah, wallahi, he will run away from you. He will say like the shaitan, لَا تَلُومُونِي وَلُومُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Don't blame me, blame yourselves. I only gave you the invitation. You responded to me. I couldn't twist your arm. So all of these other people that we keep worrying about will be of no benefit. Istiqama begins today. Istiqama begins now. And it is easy, wallahi, for those whom Allah makes it easy for. And Allah makes it easy for those who strive. So with our hearts we beg Allah. And with our actions we beg Allah. When Allah sees from us this effort, Allah will not abandon us. Allah will not abandon us and keep us in our old ways. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make that easy for all the Muslims. Allahumma ya muqallib al-qulub, thabbit qulubana ala deenik. Allahumma ya musarrif al-qulub, isrif qulubana ala ta'atik. Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ja'alna min al-muhtadin. Allahumma aslih lana dunyana lati fiha ma'ashuna. اللهم اصلح لنا ديننا الذي هو عصمة أمرنا وأصلح لنا دنيانا التي فيها معاشنا وأصلح لنا آخرتنا التي إليها معادنا واجعل الحياة راحة لنا من كل واجعل الحياة زيادة لنا من كل خير واجعل الموت راحة لنا من كل شر ربنا لا تزغ قلوبنا بعد إذ هديتنا وهب لنا من لدنك رحمة إنك أنت الوهاب ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار